airtime.
It's Joe and John Joe. Joe and John Joe. It's really neat.
Like packaged meat.
Spam.
It's what's in your box.
I think music is really neat, and Joe thinks it rocks.
Joe and John Joe. Joe and John Cho.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the thing about the studio, if you've never tuned in, is that it's right next to the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We just like it, it's our sound effects. Our sound effects are very realistic. We get authentic sources for many of them.
We're urban, man.
Yeah. It's like organic sound effects. They're all natural. And, you really got to cultivate it the right way, and comes out right.
We're an organic radio show.
Yeah, organic. All natural.
All natural. Mm-hmm. We keep it pretty green around here.
This entire show is powered by wind power. So there you go.
Is it really?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, Joe...
Technically, it's paid to wind power. I don't know where the power comes from. It's probably pretty dirty.
Really?
But all my money goes. All the money of this recording studio goes to wind power.
And this is better for the environment.
Or not all the money, just the power money.
Oh.
Yeah, because if we just gave all of our money to one person, they probably wouldn't do much for us.
What do you mean, like Bill Gates?
Well,
Yeah, I got you there.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I freaking got you.
But I was talking more of saying giving all of my money to one person.
Utility.
As opposed to just some money to some guy.
Hmm. I think you really lost me that time. If that was your intention, you score one for you.
All right. Because so that was beautiful. I'm so glad that we could start out with a stumper there. Everybody, basically what I was trying to say is like if you got your paycheck, right? And then all your paycheck went to that one guy.
Yeah.
That'd be bad. Don't do that, y'all.
Oh, that guy for me is called Visa.
Visa.
Or the credit union.
The Banshees. Only use credit if you can, y'all. We're very helpful. We give helpful tips sometimes.
Well, the thing is, I've become responsible enough that I'm paying down my debts. You know, religiously and thoroughly, because, you know, I work hard.
You got to work hard for your money, not to give it up to the Visa man. Because he'll really rule your life for a while.
Yeah, you got to pay off big chunks at a time.
But sometimes, why is the Visa man around? Because we like to go to shows. That's pretty much what it boils down to. In some form or fashion, your debt piles up from tickets, airfare, gas,
yeah,
food, late night food.
I try to be pretty responsible.
Oh yeah.
You know, but I spend a lot of money on artwork supplies and stuff. But that's, you know, it's okay.
That goes into the Crazy Redbeard Productions, which is great.
www.crazyredbeard.com.
Oh, that was a plug. So we really like crazyredbeard.com. It's pretty cool. Sweet.
All right,
it's a pet project, kind of like this podcast, I guess.
It wouldn't be working the way it is without Joseph and Julia. I'll tell you that right now. It's team Kitty Redbeard.
We have
Team Kitty Beard Killer.
We have our producer Julia in here tonight. She's just keeping a watch over everything, make sure we don't get too crazy. But she doesn't keep us low key, so don't worry about us slacking on content.
Yeah, she's reading right now.
Yeah. She's reading up on, like, super existential telepathy of galactic thought and patterns. It's pretty cool.
She's really a lot smarter than me.
Okay, well, now that we've introduced everyone, I think. Have we introduced everyone? We got John on the CRB guitar.
Oh, yeah, and tonight our radio show is called Poogie Woogie Disco Duck.
Oh, yeah, Poogie Woogie Disco Duck.
In an effort to remain fresh.
Fresh and original.
Yeah, and quick-witted, too, I might add.
Pretty much we haven't hammered down a official title for anything.
No, we were originally calling ourselves the Ridiculously Amateur Radio Show. We would sometimes substitute Ridiculously for Ruthlessly Amateur
Ruthlessly.
Radio.
And other times we just said Joe and John Show.
Yeah, the Joe and John Show.
Joe and John
Show. Do we still have our effects?
Not tonight.
Really?
We don't have those effects.
Oh, man.
Well, unfortunately, we only have the otherwise sound effects showcased. Because, I mean, sometimes you can only do so much.
You're
but
right.
Don't worry, y'all. We'll just keep adding good stuff. Actually, right now, we're running better than ever.
Wow, we are.
Yes, John is not having to have a microphone held on by CD cases. So that's an improvement.
Yeah, Joe got some new stands, and we have microphones that, like, are really nice. And
yeah.
I was telling Joe earlier, it's nice to come in here and do this because... most of the day, I walk around feeling unimportant, and I get in here and put on some headphones, and I hear myself talking, and I'm like, oh, well, I must be important. I've got headphones on, I can hear myself talking.
Talking this shit.
And then I realize that I'm not, still not important, and
exactly.
I kind of laugh myself. I think it's funny.
It's pretty nice. If anybody's actually listening, thank you. I'm sorry at the same time. But
it's,
either
it's
way.
The great saga of life.
So we actually planned this one out. Anyway,
I intend on abandoning the plan.
Abandoned
halfway through. Joe doesn't know this yet.
It's kind of like at a festival. You'll be like, "Oh, we're gonna go over here," and then you start walking. And you see somebody, and you're like, "Oh, you gotta sit down." So you sit down for 20 minutes,
you,
then you start
like?
Walking.
Wait, what do you like?
You're like, "Ah,
yeah, That's what I say. That's what I say when I see my friends too.
Like, oh Lord. Here comes that guy.
Here he comes.
Well, speaking of that guy, there was quite an exploit, explicit-filled adventure that one of our friends went on.
Oh, yeah.
To one of his concerts.
Oh, yeah, you want me to talk about my friend the doctor?
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy, do I have a story for you. My friend the doctor gets into... quite a few adventures. The Smashing Pumpkins is all prefaced by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins concert at Charlottesville Pavilion.
Yeah, which was this past Sunday, yesterday, I suppose. It's Monday, right? Yeah.
Yes.
It was Sunday, which was the 17th of August.
Or wasn't it? It was Saturday, wasn't it?
Damn, you're right.
Or Friday.
Yeah, so it was the 16th of August. So it was Saturday. You're right.
Saturday. It was some time in the past.
The doctor, yeah. Doctor's just had major brain surgery. Well, you have to understand this. And he's sort of... Dr. Harriman, I've written this on my blog, but he's a legend in his own time. He's sort of like a force of nature. And everywhere he goes, shenanigans ensue. Are just there.
It's the truth.
It's amazing.
Hilarity.
And, yeah, it's really, really funny what happens. So I call him up on Sunday, and I say, yeah... So, doctor, what's happening? I can't say his real name on the air, because if I did, he probably...
He's the doctor.
Yeah, he has probably multiple death threats against him, and,
yes.
You know, he's...
got to take care of
the doctor.
Peoples.
So, yeah, I call him up. I'm like, hey, how's everything? And he says, oh, boy, I went to this the Smashing Pumpkins concert last night, and I thought I was going to suck really bad, you know, because only two of the remaining members are still playing, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, Billy Corgan's not going to let it suck. He's a perfectionist. He's going to continue shredding until he's, like, ancient. And he's like, I know, it was one of the best rock shows I've ever seen. I'm like, really? And you got to understand, Dr. seen, like, hundreds upon hundreds of rock
tons.
Shows. I
mean, you would not expect the Smashing Pumpkins to be the best
no.
show he's ever seen.
He's, you know, he lived in New Orleans. He's lived in New York City. He's lived in, I mean, I guess they don't have a thriving music scene in Hawaii, but he's lived in Hawaii.
He's been there.
Yeah, and he's
to the luau
here. Yeah, and he's been to, he's
skirt dancing.
Yeah, you know. I
getting laid with flowers.
Oh, good for him. But he's been to a lot of rock shows. He's been to a lot of shows, and I really value his opinion. And I've been to a lot of rock shows with him. I've been to a lot of festivals with him. So he's just, you know, going on and on and on about how he's like, oh, wow, it's great. They brought their own monitors, so it's loud as fuck. You know, he's like, it's just so screechingly loud. I loved it. It was great. And it was general admission, so you could go pretty much anywhere you wanted.
General admission's pretty sweet. Yeah, moving all about.
Yeah, he says, oh, the crowd was terrible. Yeah, it's a typical Charlottesville crowd. It was terrible. Because I guess, you know, in his esteem, that the crowds that show up at shows in Charlottesville are terrible.
You get a very mixed crowd in such a small town.
Right, that don't really appreciate music, I think, really, is what he's getting at. So anyway, he's saying, and he goes, oh, yeah, and you know what? One of the things I had to do is tell people, yeah, well, if you're going to hit me, well, go ahead and hit me. And then he keeps on going with the story about how great the music was. Like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, back up. This sounds very interesting. Why did you have to tell somebody, well, if you're going to hit me, go ahead and hit me. And so he proceeds to tell me about these three guys, these three asshole guys, he says, that are there that I guess people in the crowd were having trouble with. And so he says he's a
bunch of punks.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
you never
know. I think they're younger kids.
Some rascallions.
And I apologize in advance for this. I think this story is a bit fragmented and sort of like, you know, out of line.
Disjointed,
yeah. Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Because, you know, Dr. Harriman wasn't able to give me the actual, like, linear story because he, you know, I don't know.
Eventually we'll get him to tell it in other fine tales.
Yeah. So anyway, he's...
Some at the demise of John.
So he's at this Smashing Pumpkins show. He's just telling me, you know, oh, it's great. These three guys are there. Apparently they've been just sort of like, I don't know, staking out space or something. Like, you can really do that.
You know, you throw your elbows, wookie spin, power.
Yeah. You do all that stuff. You know, it's like, I mean, you got to be respectful at the same time. You got to have a little bit of space. But apparently these guys are like being real dicks about it. And, you know.
Just taking it.
Yeah, so the doctor's not going to stand for any of that. You know,
he won't put up for anything.
He's the Mad Hatter.
He'll give it all and then give it some more.
Yeah. So he comes in there and he's standing there. And I guess one of them goes to the restroom or something, and the guy comes back apparently Dr. Harriman had some words with the guy before he went to the bathroom. The guy comes back and stands directly in front of him.
Oh, man.
And he stands with his ass on the doctor's crotch and his head literally touching his nose.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so and the doctor doesn't like this at all. And if you know the doctor, you know that...
And you know it's like hot and sweaty in that place.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. And if you know the doctor at all, this is not a good thing to do. If I was there, I would have been like,
shit. Like, oh, no.
Oh, snap. Something's about to go down. So, you know, he's
standing in front of him.
Right. So, and the doctor's not a violent man per se, but he can escalate pretty quickly. Just like
he just escalated like that. That was a pretty good sound effect.
That's my point. That's the doctor in spirit just flew by on the road. Uh-huh. So here's another thing. For years, the doctor has been perfecting this whistle.
Oh, yes. He has a very loud whistle.
It's loud. It's long. It's piercing.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
But it's a great whistle.
It's terrible, but it's amazingly terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you that.
Mm-hmm.
And up to this story, I had no respect for it at all. So anyway, the doctor starts whistling this piercing, long, loud whistle I've never heard any human being able to do. And he doesn't use his fingers or anything. He just does it with his mouth somehow.
Unfortunately, we cannot get him to record that sound effect.
It would probably kill us all.
Yes.
And so he just starts whistling as loud as he can. And the guy says, Jesus, I get the point. And but he doesn't move, apparently, so the doctor continues to whistle as loud as he can. The guy says, fuck, and he stalks off, and he goes behind.
Oh, he's getting pissed.
Yeah, he goes, oh, he's getting really angry, so he goes behind.
Because he got his crotch all up on him.
Yeah, that's right. So he walks behind the doctor, and with his two buddies, and he starts talking about how he wants to really kick the doctor's ass. And you know, over and over again, he's saying, and at this point, the doctor can only hear them talking about how they want to kick his ass.
Yeah.
And he just wants to hear the rock show. So he turns around and he says, "Well, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and try it.
Go ahead and try it."
This guy's had major brain surgery recently, and yeah, he sizes it up. He's like, "These young punks don't want to do anything."
Yeah.
There's cops everywhere. They don't want to get kicked out of a rock show, do they? Totally. He's like, yeah. Well, that's what you're going to do. Why don't you go ahead and give it a shot? And so they get even more angry, and he turns around. Because,
of course, they're not going to do it.
Oh, of course. They get more angry. He turns around, and he's secretly very happy because he knows he's upset all three of them. And then he says, you know, John, the show is amazing. It was really psychedelic. The light show is incredible. He said, "Smashing Pumpkins are a psychedelic band."
Nice.
I said, "Yeah, that's awesome." And he says, "And they even played Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun." He said, "I think I was like..."
Set the controls. Yeah,
exactly. He said, "When I heard the first two notes, I lifted my arms in the air and said, 'Set the controls!'"
Yes!
And he said everybody around him looked at him like he was crazy, because apparently nobody there knew who the hell Pink Floyd was, except this one old grizzly biker dude behind him. And he says... apparently the three guys, they're younger guys, I guess they were there just for the harder rock element of the show.
Uh-huh.
Apparently they didn't like the Pink Floyd too much.
Oh no. So what, these are the same troublemakers.
The same guys, you know, yeah. They were being jerks to everybody. And so towards the end of the show they start going, "Boo."
Oh, what the fuck?
And the doctor's like, "What are you talking about?" The old grizzly biker turns around and goes, "Hey, fuck you, you fucking assholes. That's Pink Floyd, I'll kick your fucking ass." And Andrew, oh God. That's so funny.
And
that's the best thing ever.
The little guys would shut the fuck up finally.
Yes.
That was awesome.
But
you can imagine just the guys cowering now.
Yeah. And that drew long and loud applause from the doctor.
Sweet. And of course, the show continued.
Yeah.
Which was an excellent piece.
So the moral of the story here is this. Don't mess with the doctor. Don't mess with the whistle. And if you don't respect Pink Floyd, an old grizzly biker guy is going to come stomp your face.
Yeah, totally.
And Andrew again. Oh, God. It's so funny.
That is excellent.
It's so funny.
John's strumming his guitar over here.
It's so funny. I'm not ready to play quite yet.
Oh, he's warming up, everybody. I think we're going to play a song real quick.
Yeah. What do you got queued up for us here, Joseph?
This is terrible. I got recordings queued up. The first one's Mike Gordon from Toad's Place in Richmond. Yeah, I think it was August 3rd.
Hey, I'd like to let the audience know that I also let the doctor's name slip two times in that last story towards the end. I held it together until the very end, and then I let his name slip out two times. if people put the pieces together, he's dead, so please just disregard anything. That story is completely fictional.
Everything on here is completely fictional.
Yeah, this is all in your mind.
Here comes his spirit again.
That's all in your mind.
That's all in your mind.
New stuff.
Yeah, this is Mike Gordon. August 6th, Richmond. I don't know where this is. About half an hour into the set.
That's really recent.
Yeah, it was just recently. So
we saw Mike Gordon at Gathering of the Vibes
doing
recently.
Something here. Oh yeah, how was that?
It was good.
Pretty excellent.
It was pretty excellent.
Cool. Yeah. I enjoyed myself at this show.
Yeah.
It was very fishy. At some points I was almost like, wow, I can't believe like how much I like the Biscuits now. And
they are a band in and of themselves. Yes. They are definitely a different sound.
It was like a, but yeah, the fishiness was excellent. Well, apparently we hit the one blank spot. I just started it at this random spot, so that's pretty good guesswork, I guess. I would have queued it up a little closer for y'all.
I don't know that this power strip is turned on over here. Battery is critically low.
You gotta hit the switch.
I'm having some laptop technical difficulties. Because I know you think that's important.
So this was a first time played song. And you give it a listen.
Back to the Future, McFly.
August 6th, 2008. Mike Gordon.
much yet.
These things happen in the blender. You gotta be careful. We traipse through time and space, and sometimes things get botched a little. So, it's a work in progress, you know.
Yeah.
Built the boat as we go across the water.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Tonight, we are Poogie Woogie Disco Duck. The first fish show I ever went to, I saw a girl walking down the sidewalk saying, fuck a duck, fuck a duck,
fuck a duck,
fuck a duck,
duck for a buck,
fuck a duck. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I assumed it meant that she had eaten too many hallucinogens.
Is that what it meant?
I assume, but maybe she was an alien. I don't know. I'm open to...
So you think she was an alien, ideas. Eh?
Maybe. I don't know.
What makes you think that?
I don't know.
Are we all aliens?
Yeah, I guess we all kind of are cosmic dust.
Are we, like, inspired divinely through... outside manipulation?
Ultimately, we have to be. Most people would say yes.
So I guess most people would say no. It would have to be like, but some people would prefer it to be like a higher plane beyond our universe, while more plausible maybe another part of the universe.
I can't tell anybody. I just know. There are things out there that I don't understand.
I don't understand. So, I think we still have this music kind of playing in the background slightly.
That's good.
Yeah. It's kind of a nice touch. So, we'll kind of just... Maybe we'll like this format. We'll kind of flow through the bootlegs in the background. And we'll switch them up when we want to. We'll experiment with this flow.
Yeah, we like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to talk about past events maybe a little bit. Like Floyd Fest. Some other things.
Floyd Fest
was pretty fun, wasn't it?
We're gonna go backwards tonight, y'all. Is there anything more recent than Mike Gordon you want to talk about first?
More recent, like Gathering of the Vibes?
In the past.
We were just at Gathering of the Vibes last
week.
Ooh,
weekend. Vibes.
It was another Phil Vibes. It was the best one I've been to in years.
Excellent.
I got to...
There's a Phil Vibes, so that means that Phil was the headliner. Phil Sorry.
Rush. Yeah.
I apologize to all y'all. Gordon. Monkeys and such, but I've never been, so.
Oh, man. You got to go to a Gathering of the Vibes.
I've been there. Yeah, I'm a noob to that one.
It's good. I mean, they've gone through a lot of changes and weathered some hard times, and I think they're coming out on top.
I was actually at the festival grounds where, I guess, the third Vibes was. Mm-hmm. I was at Arrowhead Ranch. Indian. What was it?
Indian Lookout.
Yeah, Country Club in Albany, New York, or somewhere outside of it.
It's Mariahville, New York. It's the New York chapter of the Hell's Angels. They own that place up there, and
not really, but you know.
Yeah, really.
Really?
Is the Hell's Angels, or just?
But it's just they're just a different. They're a group
of
people.
It's the Hell's Angels,
they're a biker.
Guys.
No, they're not, because they didn't have that shit on or anything.
I choose to believe what I want, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
Well, John,
I've been telling people this for years, and that's not going to change it.
Either way, they didn't look like they looked like some bikers that like to have a festival. Man, they tackled a naked tripping guy. It was not good.
They
for
will
him.
Do that.
It was not good for him. You gotta watch yourself where you're going to get naked and tripping people.
Yeah, you don't want to do it around a bunch of bikers.
Yeah,
don't
make sure that like it's a bunch of other heads or something.
Common sense.
People that'll
dictate.
Take care of you.
Yeah.
Make sure people are good instead of tackly.
These guys are a little bit more
tackly
rough around
bad.
The edges than you know your average hippie crowd. So.
Yeah, they're more like the kind of the hippie crack distributors, you know. Man,
well,
we got.
They're like kind of like the Gestapo of.
The Gestapo
of festival security. Okay, yeah, they're not so bad. But they do come down on you a little hard if you step out of line.
They were not bad in any way towards me.
Really? They've gotten better over the years.
They're very nice, actually. They helped me out a couple
okay.
times.
Okay, all right. I've been treated nicely by the bikers, but I've also seen them do some pretty heinous stuff.
My buddy Bill saw the naked guy get tackled.
Well, maybe he had
taken out.
Maybe he had it. Like that naked tripping guy at Starscape.
Yeah, exactly. What is it with naked tripping guys at these biscuit festivals? Maybe it's the same guy.
That would be hilarious.
You know, it's kind of like Banana Man. It'll become the new internet kind of meme pool. You know, it'll just people will be like, "Oh, did you see a naked tripping guy? Yeah, I saw him. He was totally naked and tripping. It's not good."
It's not good at all. Well, I mean, it could be.
Well, as long as he's not getting tackled. But in the two times that we've seen people there naked and tripping, they've pretty much been running into the authorities at some point.
And getting hosed down with water.
Hosed down.
Where's
tackled.
The water? Where's the water? I'm dying. Where's the water?
Oh, my God. You know, they took that off the internet. I emailed the guy, and he said that if I put it back up, he'll give it to me, so I'm going to get that back for all y'all, so that you can finally see the glorious naked tripping guy.
Where's the water?
Where's the water, man? Well, we did get the audio of it, at least, on one of the shows. That was pretty good. Definitely enjoyable.
So, yeah.
I certainly am enthused about... So, we were talking about...
Gathering of the Vibes.
Yeah,
let me... Rock the Earth was kind enough to have us come up there. Sean McNamara was nice enough to have
Rock
us
the Earth.
Come up there. It's a non-profit organization. You should check
they
it out.
They have a website?
Online. Yep. It's I think it's rocktheearth.com.
Rocktheearth.com? We're going to double-check
right
that.
But Sean McNamara invited us up to work. And yeah, it is maybe it's not. So we went up there and we worked. And basically what Rock the Earth is, it's rocktheearth.org actually.
.org, not .com, y'all.
Yeah.
Don't get those spam bots. Don't go to MSNBC crap either, the CNN links. There's crazy spam.
Yeah, you don't want
sent everywhere.
Crazy spam is everywhere. But they work. Basically, they work pretty closely with the music industry and people that are involved in the music industry and people that are concerned about our public lands, air, and water. And they They act as advocates to ensure the existence of a sustainable and healthy environment for everybody. So they link up musicians and other artists and stuff with these green initiatives that actually are well thought out green initiatives, and not just sort of what's in the zeitgeist, you know, what the hot thing is at the moment that nobody's done any research about. So they're not fly by night. They've been doing this for a long time, and this was Sean's sort of going away vibes, so it was pretty cool, and it was really neat that it was a Phil vibes, and they played really amazing music, and you know, the entire weekend was really amazing. I saw lots of cool artists and did some paintings, sold some paintings, which was really cool.
Excellent.
And I heard Steve Mullitz is now playing with Phil and Friends. Steve Mullitz, who played with Particle.
Well, Steve.
And I've done live paintings with Particle, so that was kind of neat to be like a degree of separation away.
Mm-hmm.
But they at one point they led into a elevator.
Oh, that man.
It was like mind-blowing.
Really?
And it was amazing to see so many like, you know, old school dead folk,
mm-hmm.
and then like people that were jiving on, you know, getting down on the Particle flavor.
Well, I heard some people were pissed that they played that shit.
Well, they can be pissed if they want.
Yeah, they were like, oh man,
it was a
there's no way.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah
So I guess
there was a contrast of opinions. I did not win this.
In my opinion,
mine's
one of my favorite.
Actually, this was from All Good, where the guy was saying, I was talking to him driving around in the van at Camp Bisco.
Yeah. I thought it was a neat mishmash of old and new.
Yeah.
You know, of like two different generations coming together. And I don't know, I've had a lot of personal experiences with Particle. And Particle had a live artist on stage at Bonnaroo. That's why I got inspired to paint live. Mm. And then I was painting live with them. And at one point, after, remember when, this is funny, we had gone up to the Falls Church to paint live
man.
For Particle.
John wanted me to come.
And Joe drunkenly, you know, on Saturday night, you were out there having a great time on Saturday night. We can go backstage and hang out with the band and everything. And
yeah, it was a good time.
And so we go backstage, and Joe, like, continues to get progressively more drunk.
Oh, man.
And just, like, you know, super happy drunk, and then we get in the car.
We were having a great time driving back.
Where were we driving? Oh, back to Oliphant's place.
Yeah.
And so we were driving over to Buddy's house in D.C., and he busts out the video camera,
and then he starts going.
He's like, people, they had invited us to come at this private come to this private party the next day in New Jersey in Tabernacle, New
Jersey.
And
they were like, come on, Joe, you can go. I'm like, dude, I gotta fucking work, you know?
But then he was like, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm wasted. After I get super wasted, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna rock out at that shit.
So anyway, you know.
So, of course, come morning time, sober Joe comes around.
Changes his mind.
Oh, no. Yes, I actually had to go back to Charlottesville on Sunday. Because I had to work on Monday, but they wanted to go up and party in Jersey.
I wanted to go do a live painting at a private party with
private
Particle.
Party with Particle, and so
and I did.
John was like, "Joe, I need to do this." I was like, "Dude, I need to go home." And he was like, "Well, could you take the bus?" I was like,
"I'll pay for it." I said I would pay for it.
At that point, I was still kind of drunk, so I wasn't feeling too bad. But this was the aftermath of quite a heavy night. And so, in turn, I agree to it. And they end up parking me on the subway furthest away from the downtown area.
This is how much I love Joe.
Grand Central Station. And then, so I'm completely hungover and sleeping pretty much the whole train ride. Have to do a transfer. Almost throw up on the Supreme Court stairs because I couldn't find my way around.
Tell me that.
And asked the cop, you're like, which way is the Amtrak or the Greyhound station? It was like all through the ghetto a little bit. It was behind the Grand Central station, but it was still kind of sketchy. But I was probably the sketchiest person there. I bet you I reeked of alcohol. So let that be a lesson. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I sent him home on the bus, but I paid for it. Not that that really sweetens the deal.
$23.
Yeah, I was, that's
and then the 8-hour drive was awesome. I got home at like 9 o'clock at night.
See,
night.
Now the truth is only coming out now. He's never told me how bad it really was. Now it's coming out.
Oh, whatever.
Air. That's great.
He's definitely heard it. But either way.
But anyway, I went up there and I painted live with him. It was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I remember, like, I was having definitely, like, an intense sort of out-of-body experience moment while painting. And it was Earth Day, and I remember, like, reaching down and picking up
big pile of dirt.
Yeah, and I remember picking up this dirt, and all of a sudden they, like, sort of segued into Riders on the Storm. And I'm, like, feeling this dirt, and I throw it on the canvas, and I'm, like, painting. And then all of a sudden I start painting, like, a... steal your face, or like sort of taking the back of the paintbrush and going around and around, and then it starts looking like a skull to me. So I like sort of outline it, and it looks like a steal your face. And then as I'm doing that, Steve Mullitz segues into, I can't remember what Grateful Dead song it was. It might have been Terrapin Station. Mm-hmm. I think it was. He just teased it just for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they finished out the set. And as he's getting off the stage, I said, Steve, did you, he's a little Grateful Dead. And he's like, yeah, Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And so then afterwards, we bring the painting up around the campfire. It's a huge bonfire. And everybody's sitting around laughing, having a good time. And Steve Mullitz leans out and he looks at me and he goes, you know, the thing about the Grateful Dead is no matter where you are, whether it's, you know, some long highway in California or a diner in Texas, when the Grateful Dead comes on, just feels right. And I'm sitting there like, you know, basically having my mind blown by this elevator Grateful Dead, you know, combination thing, you know, thinking about that and going, huh, that's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat.
So that's kind of like another gathering of the vibe in a different location.
It's just interesting, you that's know, how like it how it's all connected somehow.
So the gathering of the vibes is like the super vibe, y'all.
Oh man, it's awesome. And there's just so many cool artists there, you know, and you know, it's just great. Floyd Fest, another festival that we got to go to, where I got to do a lot of live paintings with people like the Aliens, Giant Panda, Gorilla Dub Squad.
Nice.
William Walter and Company, Buzz Universe, who played 2 days there, and they were really, really, really good. I thought they were really great.
Really great?
Yeah, and William Walter and Company won the Emerging Artist nomination.
What, at FanFest?
At Floyd Fest.
Floyd Fest?
Yeah, so they'll be playing on the main stage next year. Those are my boys.
Yeah, Willie Walter.
I do lights for.
They got it going on.
My boys.
Tucker and William.
Tucker and Rogers, Legendarius, William Walter. Yeah.
They're awesome.
That's right.
There's other
Stuart members. Holmes on bass.
Stuart, that's right.
Nathan Brown on drums.
I saw Stuart at Floyd Fest. He was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's hanging out, chilling, you know.
Nate Brown on drums.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember what Adam's last name is to save my life all of a sudden. Let's see. I don't want to say it wrong. I know it, but it's eluding me right now. But that's great. William Walter and Company, they really deserved to win that slot.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, you look for that, I'm going to play some U-Melt.
All right, we're going to play some U-Melt. That's freaking right. Do that. That's real good. Adam Silvers on the keys. I tell you what else, Jesse Roger runs the sound on that, you know what, and he does a good job. This is some U-Melt from Camp Isco, isn't it, Joe?
That is correct.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing these guys this weekend at FanFest 4.0, Kempton, Pennsylvania, where I'll be doing humongous live paintings. You can get in touch with me right now to commission me for live painting of the band of your choice, Crazy Red Beard at crazyredbeard.com. I'm already doing one for Ryan Monblum. Probably can do another one during their sets of music. Jumping Sons will be playing U-Melt, Natural Breakdown.
Yeah.
Who else is going to be playing? Turtle Soup, Turbine, Rumor. lot of bands are going to be playing. 222 Project. I love you, Mel. Hey, listen here. We asked you guys to call in tonight, and nobody called in. Well, fuck you, America.
Fuck you. Fuck you, America.
We just stuck it to you, America.
Fuck you, America. P.S. We love you, America.
We just really want you to call. Why did you call? It's late. We want to make sure you're okay. You're not hurt.
Thank God nobody's actually calling. Because John posted my number on MySpace.
And on every bathroom stall in town.
Yeah.
I did it.
It's terrible. People have been calling me left and right.
You've gotten some good dates out of it.
Long John there. Long John Silver.
Among other things.
And Hong Dong Doodle. I mean, come on, man. How many did you put up? What were the other ones?
Exactly.
Like the Silver Surfer.
33.
There you go. That's like 3-3 almost to infinity.
Yeah. 3 to the third power is what?
Hey, you know what's funny? Is we have this podcast that we're doing right now. The other one hasn't even gone up yet. It's actually been out there on the internet the whole time, y'all.
Yeah, you should listen to it. It's
yeah.
Good.
We'll put it up at the same time as
this. Oh, I told you to do something that you can't do, because Joe hasn't put it up yet. I nagged and nagged and nagged him forever.
Still not there.
Still not there.
But, you know, right now, this is going live over the internet.
This is live.
So, pretty much anybody that could have heard it can hear it.
That's right,
America. So, if you missed out.
I said it. I said, fuck you. I said it out of anger. It was a place, a dark, terrible place inside of me, and I apologize.
I was scared.
I was nervous. I was a fearful fool.
I was not myself.
It's true. Joe doesn't lie. This U-Mel jam is tasty.
Yes, it is pretty good.
It's nice.
It was a good little jump into it.
I bet you guys wish we'd shut up so you could hear it.
Alright, we'll shut up a little.
That was our good friend, U-Melt. Bendy. Zach. George.
Guy. Sorry. I was just kidding.
Rob. We like you guys.
You guys are nice.
You guys are good at what you do.
You do a good job.
You do real good.
We've done real well.
I think you should keep doing it.
Keep it up.
It was funny at Gathering the Vibes. Zach and Allie Poe came up, and it was really early in the morning. I'd been up
very
all
night. Early.
Oh yeah, I'd been up all night.
So, right, getting around time to go to sleep.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, I couldn't really sleep.
He was very jacked up.
Oh, my coffee. I was just awake. It was a great show. I mean, I can't say why. I was just awake. And, you know, I'm standing there, like, staring at this bird that's, like, you know, we're parked and camped underneath this huge tree in Bridgeport, Connecticut, in the park, you know, Oceanside Park, whatever it's called.
Wow, remember. That must have sounded really weird. Sorry.
Yeah,
because we were playing Mike Gordon and U-Meld at the same time.
That's how Mike Gordon that's how we flip quiet. You guys. The bird and see, the stories about the bird.
Yeah.
So we're not really flipping you the bird. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I had to completely interrupt it. So to reconstruct.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sitting there, like, staring at this bird. It's just, like, peeping and jumping around in the grass, like, right in front of me. And I'm looking at it, and it's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a moment.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Rockin' Robin.
Tweet, tweet.
It was awesome. And it was like, it sort of was like, it tweet at me and then jump forward a few steps like, hey, follow me. And so I was like, what, bird? And I'm like literally talking to this bird. All of a sudden, Zach and Ali Poe walk up, Zach from U-Melt, and they play a song called A Robin's Tale, Part 1 and Part 2. And oddly enough, the acronym for that is ART. So I find that interesting because I paint for them sometimes. And sometimes when I paint for them, they play the ART Part 1 and ART Part 2.
That was very interesting.
And they both come up and we both start having this conversation about the bird. And then we all three of us start staring at this bird and it's like diving in and out of a tree. And it was quite a nice, surreal, sublime, beautiful moment. It's all about whistles today and bells, you know.
Bells.
Julia's reading a book
about... We need more cowbell.
Julia's reading a book by Eckhart Tolle.
They just used the word word transmutation.
She says they just use the word transmutation. That's the name of a Juggling Sons album. That's why it caught Julia's attention. She's really enjoying this book. It's really cool. It's all about, you know, energy and attention and, you know, like sort of finding your true purpose in life by not, you know, always getting caught up in your brain thinking all these crazy thoughts and things, and it's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know what it's all about.
And it's like
Julia's nodding her head. It's highly recommended. God, you silly man.
It's highly recommended by Oprah.
We just plugged Oprah.
Oprah. Is that Oprah?
No.
Oprah?
Oprah.
Oprah.
And I've been teasing her about Oprah for months now, because she likes to watch Oprah, but mm-hmm. I've actually been pretty interested in this episodic interview with this guy, Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
Combines a lot of spiritual and sort of metaphysical and almost like quantum type physics-like ideas into one sort of generalized idea.
Hmm.
It's kind of neat. A lot of Eastern sort of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Talks a lot about nature, too.
He talks about letting go of the ego and being aware of the inner self.
Inner self.
Not shelf.
No. If you had an inner shelf, you'd be like a cabinet.
What if that was kind of like your planes of destiny?
To be a cabinet?
I don't know. Multi-purpose. Let go of your inner shelf. Become open. Then you will not be a cabinet.
You need to be like a wardrobe.
You will achieve higher Zen wardrobe feelings.
You'll be a ward of Obi.
Ward of Obi?
Like a Jedi.
Ah. Obi-Wan Kenobi, I see.
It's really all about using the Force.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Control things. Bring it around.
Well, for maybe. I don't know.
Were you going to demonstrate the Force and vibrations?
I think the Force is just like sort of like going with the flow, you know, man. Uh-huh. Oh, do I have to demonstrate some Force?
Yeah.
I have to put this laptop down.
Yeah. John has to prepare himself for a little jam here.
Oh, yeah. I like to play this song because it is a jam. It's a song by Pearl Jam and Julia's initials.
Pearl Jam.
Our jam. And I played it at Gathering of the Vibes on stage to thousands of people.
Yeah.
With the New Riders of the Purple Sage. Psych! I did not.
Oh. Can y'all hear that?
I did say psych. I don't know, Joe.
They can hear it.
Exactly the way they do. Oh. Mr. Ones.
Number one. You win.
You win the Pepsi.
You win Pepsi. Red Snapper.
You red Snapper. Stupid. You're so stupid.
Oh, no.
He said nothing, no. Nothing.
No.
You want the Red Snapper? What behind door number one?
Take that box. What's in the box? A boat's a boat, but a box could be anything, even a boat. You know how much we've been wanting one of those.
It's like the random like mystery box stream of consciousness pop culture reference.
Yeah, there you go.
It went from
the people would know what it went from. If you didn't catch it, sorry y'all. It flows. You can explain it if you want.
My apologies to Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder for butchering that song. I was a little nervous.
Hey, that was okay. Sorry. I thought it was damn fine. I think everybody certainly enjoyed it.
I am even nervous around Joe and Julia.
If we even got somebody listening.
I'm sweating. I'm crying. And my nose is bursting into acne. I sprouted a tail.
He's the devil.
No.
No, he's not.
Yes.
Oh, no.
No. Maybe sometimes.
Devil's advocate.
Maybe a little both.
It's fun to play. Don't be him.
Oh, I've got it all. I've got it all, Joe.
Yes. Well, so that was very excellent. I think everybody enjoyed that.
Julie, did you enjoy that?
I loved it.
Yes. Julia loved it.
It is.
She. I pay her to say things like that. Later, when we go home, I'm going to give her a $50.
Positive reinforcement. $150.
Oh, no. Whoa. $50. Whoa,
women. Oh, no.
Whoa. 50.
Oh, stop digging while you're digging, buddy.
Joe, look. I'm having a conundrum. Should I buy a lot of canvas for FanFest? Do you think it'll be a good idea?
Probably. If
From Dick Blick? And get them to ship it by Wednesday.
By Wednesday.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure you get it on time.
No doubt.
Get your stuff on time.
It'll definitely be here by Thursday.
If you're going to go to a festival, don't forget a towel. Don't forget a towel.
You better take that towel.
Don't forget a towel.
That's actually good advice. I've been meaning to put a towel
in. Oh, yeah. See, I forgot a towel going to Camp Bisco. I was like, son of a bitch.
J-Money stood.
Fucking towel.
J-Money at Gathering the Vibes painstakingly. We all weathered this freaking tsunami. And there was water in the tent because I guess it was left open a little tiny bit. And so she took a towel and she soaked up the water and then she would spread the towel on the hood of the car. And then she took this propane heater, and just like... heated it up for like hours and hours and hours and hours and
like
hours.
Like peels the paint off. Of the car.
It's amazing.
Just a little bit.
I love her.
Not a whole lot.
It took hours. It did. It was hard work.
That's hilarious. Jeez, good job.
I popped up like three little buckets of water.
Three buckets of water.
That's nothing. I've seen people dump an entire like 1,400 gallon pool into their garage.
But see, the thing is once your sleeping bag is soaked, it's
soaked. Oh, yeah. We're talking about camping stuff again.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can see how my mind's set.
You know what? Julia suggested we need to get a chamois towel. You know, like one of those that just absorbs water and you squeeze it out.
Oh, yeah. I've seen like those swimmers on TV.
Swimmers use them.
Oh, really?
We used to use them when I swam when I was young.
Do they actually, like, sponge up the water?
They actually do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Oh, well, yeah.
Awesome.
Sounds pretty, like a little.
Thank you, CK.
It's a personal. That's like a, I don't know, personal review. We got a review of the towel. It's positive.
Camping product review.
Wow.
Review.
It's quite a conundrum.
This is my camping review.
Well.
Tsunami waters everywhere. In my tent, in my hair. Sorry, Trey.
Tent playing. Hey, let's Let's play some Disco Biscuits.
We should, and we should maybe even, maybe even wrap it up.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're going to do.
I'm going to do it.
So we're going to wrap this up, y'all.
You better wrap up that gavel, too.
None of us have no idea how long we've been doing this.
Wrap it up.
If you heard the pregame rabble, hope you enjoyed it. All the sound effects are, of course.
That was fun.
Fake. And so,
Cosmic Burp and Earthworm Jim signing off.
We're going... throw you in the mix.
Where's the water? Where's the water? Where's the water? I'll die. Where's the water? Where's the water?
Alright, so this is
Memphis.
Yeah, I think this is the second set of the third night. Sorry, we're not going to play the third set tonight, but it was really good.
Oh, here's an interesting...
we'll play some of that second set stuff some other time.
Here's an interesting interconnectivity. Mm-hmm. Since we talked about the Smashing Pumpkins story. Uh-huh. One night I lost my flippin' mind at a Disco Biscuit show when Trax used to still be here in Charlottesville. Uh-huh. And it was Halloween, and I wore this alien outfit. Mm-hmm. I'd come off Fish Tour, I think it was 2000. Halloween 2000. And they played an amazing show, and I just, like, completely flipped out the entire night. And then, like, towards the end of the show, I was dancing so hard, I was sweating so bad, my glasses flew off my face.
Oh, no.
And I was, like, I couldn't see, and everybody was jammed in there. So they got broken. And then they played it for their encore. They came out and played Cherub Rock by the Smashing Pumpkins, and they had these two pumpkins on stage all night that had glass in the front of them, and then Barber took a tire iron and smashed the crap. That was awesome.
Sweet.
That was awesome, dude.
And that's our final story, y'all. It was happy having everyone here, and certainly hope you enjoyed the podcast / stream live episode of
Boogie Woogie Disco
number 7. Mm-hmm.